Today I'm with a very special guest who has served the country with honor and distinction, along with 20,000 other members like him. Please introduce yourself to us and tell us what it's like to be a Montford Point Marine and a winner of the Congressional Gold Medal.
I'm Jonas Bender, a Montford Point Marine, lives in Yellow Springs, Ohio, and I served in World War II in the South Pacific with the U.S. Marine Corps. The Montford Point Marines is a phrase that refers to the 20,000 black men who served in the U.S. Marine Corps from 1942 to 1949. It was a segregated training camp that was established solely for us as black men because at the time we could not be participating in the main camp of Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. The other part of that is that the fact that we were in the Marine Corps was due to President Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1941, who issued an order that all government facilities would be open without regard to race and those other factors. However, it took another year, and he had to issue another edict that says the Marine Corps will enlist black men in the Marine Corps. The reason that was necessary in that there were no blacks in the Marine Corps between 1775 and 1942 when President Roosevelt issued his edict. The suggestion from Marine Corps generals at the time was that black men were not capable mentally or physically to be Marines, and that it would reduce the effectiveness of the Marine Corps if blacks were admitted. However, Roosevelt stuck to his guns and said that you will induct black men, but he did yield on the fact that it did not mean integration into the Marine Corps. It took another 7 years between 1942 and 1949 for integration to come about, and that was pushed by President Harry Truman. Now, those were two men who saw that there was a problem. Roosevelt did his part by saying we would be inducted, and after 7 years, when we proved ourselves that we were capable as any other individual to be a Marine, issued the order for integration in 49. That's the preliminary picture of what happened to us. We weren't wanted. We weren't expected to do well, but we performed nobly, including the combats that we were involved in. That's the story of the Montford Point Marines.
What was it like to have to train separately, get into combat separately, knowing that you had the capabilities? Can you recall how that felt and some of the incidents that, really was painful at that time?
It was crazy, just to put it that way, bluntly, that here we are capable of doing what was required. But the higher ups in the Marine Corps during that time said that we would only be what I call toters of water and hewers of wood, that is, the mainly grunt jobs, and that we just were not going to be involved in the full combat operations for which the Marine Corps is famous. And we were not trained to be combatants. It happened, however, that places like Saipan and Iwo Jima, when things blew up, so to speak, that all of us, and not me because I did not suffer the pangs of going into combat, we did not flinch from doing our job. And it was during that time, primarily Saipan and Iwo Jima, that we proved that we could fight. We saved many white Marines' lives, and we involved in the victories that came about. And it was these two battles particularly that later on caused one general to say that this is no longer an experiment. These black men are Marines.
And what was it like when you learned that the Marine Corps would be integrated? Do you remember how you felt, what hit you at that moment when you said, now we get a chance to show our stuff?
With my case and the other 20,000 black Marines, it was never integrated while we were there. It was, we served between 1942 and 49, and the integration order did not come until 1949 after we had left. But the effect of knowing in later years that we had a role in bringing about integration by proving that we could be good Marines is a very satisfying experience for all of us. And that came to the head last week when we went to Washington to get the Congressional Gold Medal, that we saw black generals, that is, brigadiers and lieutenant colonels. We saw black young ladies, colonels in the Marine Corps. And we saw all forms of other levels of the Marine Corps were integrated. And that was a situation that we all took pride in. And I can say we all now, that is 400 of us were in Washington at the Capitol Visitor Center for the awarding of this gold medal, that we knew that what we did between 1942 and 1949 brought about the integration that we saw in the Marine Corps today. It was a thrilling, satisfying, humbling, and ever somehow a sad situation, too, because there were only 400 of us there, but there had been 20,000 black Marines who had participated in what was called an experiment that we proved ourselves and helped bring the Marine Corps to the position that it is today.
And I want to elaborate on that, sort of that sense of pride, a little sense of sadness. Did you think about when the award was given to you at the ceremony, were you flashing back to all of the 20,000 and the struggle and so forth?
It's almost indescribable when you recall what I've told you up to now, and to see that after 70 years of our activity, that the nation and the present leaders actually brought us to the point where we were getting the highest civilian honor that the Congress can give, that is a gold medal. It brought tears to the eyes of all of us, and the sadness that the other group of men that served with us during that time were not there to share in it. But we remembered them, and we continue to be pleased that there are 400 known black men who served as Montford Point Marines, were present, and that there were 20 others who, because of health conditions, could not be there. But that 420 men of that beginning group were there to be honored and to give recognition to us for what we had done.
When you think about some of the people you served with, is there a couple people or group of people that stories just flood your mind a lot? I know that those war stories can be very interesting at times. Do you have stories that occasionally pop into your mind?
I've got the question, and the answer is that I had gone there with the hope that I would meet some of the fellows that I served with. But beginning with the motto, the few, that is exactly what it was. We are so few and scattered that I did not find one person that I had served with. that was a disappointment with me because I did come there with our pictures of our platoons and company and addresses, hoping that I could find them. But the organization known as the Montford Point Marine Association is continuing to gather information on the history of our efforts and searching out people beyond the 420 that we now know are alive. But I still have not found anybody that I really served with, and that's due to the attrition and the normal death rates of what goes on. That was a real disappointment to me. But to shift the conversation a little bit on that same theme, what many of us really got out of this was the fact that, as explained to you, there are now black Marines throughout the system. The system is now open for promotions, and we saw evidence of that in the young men and women of black young men and women who are now serving so proudly and so beautifully as a result of what we did. But the straight answer to your question is I did not find anybody that I had served with.
And I wanted to ask you, too, you touched on it before, that you're very proud of where the country has come, and it's come a long way. At that ceremony, did you get that sense? Were you thinking we've come a long way? And also, I want to know if you had a chance to meet the president while you were in Washington, D.C.
All right, I'm going to answer the last question first. The president had other matters on his agenda that day. In other words, the Affordable Health Act was coming up, and we did not get to see him because he did not come, but he sent a very great notice of appreciation for what we'd done, and it was read at the ceremony, which, because I understand what he's going through, that he had other things that he had to do, but I forgive him for that. The other question about how things were going, I cannot see how I can put this, except to say the beautiful thing about all of this is that the present commandant, General James Amos, about 3 years ago, himself became aware of what had been done to the Montford Point Marines, and he is famous for the meeting where he said, "This is wrong. I'm going to fix it." And as the young man from the Montford Point Marines who accepted the medal in saying that, he quoted General Amos, said he was wrong. It was wrong. He's going to fix it, and he did. Now, that brings me to a point that's very significant to me. Whenever a situation exists and somebody knows it's wrong and they have the power to change it, they ought to do it. And that's what General Amos did. He lobbied the Congress, used his power to bring it to the point where we were receiving the Congressional Gold Medal, and it was through his individual effort and his power as the commandant of the Marine Corps to bring about the change that led to our being there and getting that medal. To spread that thought a little farther, if anybody would, in their own lives, take time to view what the situations that they are in, whether it be at their home or their work or their church, the community or the school, and they see something wrong, they ought to determine themselves that it's wrong and do what they can to fix it. Because many things that are changed, as happened in the Marine Corps, were done because individuals with power, commitment, and the guts, I might as well say, to go ahead and work on the change ought to do it. And that's the story that comes out of that, about how important it is that all of us, whenever we see untoward situations, We ought to do what we can to change it and do it now.
That's very well put. And I wanted to follow up with you on that because you've got a lot of good things in perspective. You didn't let the racism at that time eat you alive. It sounded like you just kept in the community, really trying to make it better for everybody. How did you avoid letting that racism create a bitterness inside you that just, you know, ate your heart and soul away? How did you keep a good perspective throughout all these years?
I had a very good training and atmosphere, having grown up in Mississippi, about the evil that people do to each other through segregation and racism. But I also was wise enough to see, and watching my dad in action, really, getting bitter or hating does not solve it. In fact, being hateful and bitter compromises an individual's ability to effect change. I guess I would summarize it by saying that work on it, forget the pain that it brings, don't worry about the risks of what you have to do, and above all, keep the view that what is right and can be done, and therefore don't hate about it, because I've got a saying that helps me in my own life. This, I glance at the past, but I don't dwell on it, because when you do that, when you spend so much time hating and bitter, that you jeopardize the future, and that is a totally unnecessary way to go about things. Now, at the same time that I said it that way, I do not eliminate the need for righteous indignation from time to time. When you do have to become angry or whatever other course it takes to get things done, that is necessary, but do all we can to avoid that situation. Because many of the things that happen in life we all know are wrong. We don't do anything about it until it's some kind of issue, and then it's almost too late. Summarized of what I'm saying here now is survive what you have to go through, but keep working. And above all, don't hate or become bitter about it, because it does you no good.
Very well put. And I wanted to I know here we're getting close to closing, but I wanted to talk about a very special person, Ethel Bender, the commandant of the Bender household. We better talk about the love of your life there. I know she's very special and taught a lot of people in the Yellow Springs school system. Talk about how she was just so supportive and active over the years.
Well, you sure brought a smile to my face on that one, because after 55 years of the joy and delight of having her as my wife, I would be quick to admit that it was Ethel who helped me along. We met after the war because we married in 1956, and I had had many experiences before then. But immediately that I saw her, I told her the very first moment that I met her, little girl, I'm going to marry you. And it took her 2 years for her to realize what a special person she had in me, but she finally said yes. And that's married. We've been married now for 55 years. And she is my rock and has kept me in a path that helps me move to the point that I am now. She's blessed me with two children. My daughter, Jerry, who is in San Diego, is a teacher. And my son, Michael, who is an executive with Walmart in Phoenix. And now we are at the stage where we are enjoying the fruits of our love and our labor and seeing it come into fruition. But I have to admit, and I don't know whether I'd admit it to her, but you're going to put this on the air so she'll hear it. Without her, I would not be anywhere near as well off as I am.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time with us today and talking about one of the most extraordinary periods in our history and bringing us up through where we are now. One final question I wanted to ask you for young people of color now who want to join the Marines and get involved with the military, would you tell anybody that asked you for advice that it is a good place to be right now, that they would enjoy the experience?
I can say that if they join the Marines and get through boot camp, they will find themselves to be in very good shape, because in the Marines you learn discipline, you learn to persevere, and you learn to take care of yourselves and your buddies. And therefore, I would recommend that there are some people who need the kind of discipline that the Marine Corps gives. It is a good way to make a living and to serve the country. So I would say that Armed Forces General, for some people, it is a good course of action for life's work. And I can say in my own case that for me, it introduced me to a new world. I was 18 years old, if you can remember, and just out of Mississippi. I learned a lot, saw a lot, and it helped me to become the man that I am. And at the same time, I have been able to finish college because of the GI Bill, and all those benefits are worth the effort.